Welcome to the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore. It is Monday, October the 25th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, fact-checking. That's right, fact-checking. It is necessary. But why? Obviously, we know why. But are we also not running into an issue with having to continue to the point of checking facts against absurd lies? I'll explain what I mean so that it will become a whole lot clearer right after this.
Dr. Hildreth, how do you respond?
First of all, this virus was discovered in December of 2019, so there couldn't possibly be six-year data on this virus or this pandemic. That's ridiculous. The virus is killing people, and as of October 24th, there have been 45,316,000 cases in the United States. 733,000 people have died. And so to those 733,000 families, you tell them that this is not a real phenomenon and see what they have to say. But to say that the data for the last 6 years means that this is not a pandemic is ridiculous, because the virus was only discovered in December of 2019. So there couldn't possibly be six-year data on this pandemic. A pandemic, by definition, is a global epidemic, and this is certainly that. There have been over 200 million cases, approaching 300 million cases, around more than that, actually. And the global deaths now exceed 2 million, at least 2 million, 3 million perhaps. So to say that this is not a pandemic is on its face ridiculous, because it is, by definition. And I've been studying viruses since 1978, 40 years now, more. And I can tell you this is a pandemic virus. We were naive to it prior to December of 2019. Vaccines were the best hope to put this behind us. The vaccines are safe and they do work. So, sir, all of those things that you've said are false, and I will leave it at that.
Yes, indeed, Dr. Hildreth. I couldn't agree more. Of course, this is what where we are, right? We have to keep refuting and making it very clear that the facts are the facts, and we're not going to allow people to act the fool in here. We're just not going to allow it, dear listener. Thank you, dear listener, for joining me, by the way. And I should say, I hope that your day is going well on this Monday, the beginning of the conventional work week, as I call it. I do hope that you are in a good place or in a better place. And if you're not in a good place, I hope that you get there, and I hope that you're able to, you know, this is the time of year where things become especially acute for many people across the planet, because, you know, it becomes a more challenging time. There's loneliness for some people. There are a number of things that are going on, life issues and challenges and things going on in family and all the rest of it. And I do hope that you are able to get through those things and address them and deal with them, and hopefully things and the burden that accompanies all of that becomes a little less light and a bit more easy for you, a little lighter, I should say. The burden becomes a little lighter for you. But here we are on this Monday, and thank you again for joining me. This is the thing. I played that clip. That clip, by the way, was earlier this morning on C-SPAN here in the United States, yeah. Oh, dearie me. C-SPAN, available here in the United States, and it may be available in other places. You can get the website at cspan.org, obviously. You can get that anywhere in the world, but I think you may have to watch some of the videos, and you can watch them on YouTube as well. I think there's a YouTube channel there. But you can watch these things live if you have a cable. It's free, and once you have a cable subscription, I think, in the US, but you may be able to watch them anyway, certainly on the YouTube channel. But earlier today, this morning, on Washington Journal, which is where you heard that clip from, on C-SPAN. You had Dr. Hildreth. Now, I forget his first name, but Dr. Hildreth is the member of the Committee on Vaccines for the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, in government, right? And he just laid out for you what you already know, is that this virus is freaking real. It's killed, as he said, between 3 and 4 million people across the globe. In the United States, I'm not sure that he even mentioned this, but I think he did, over 700,000 people have died from this virus. And this is what we have to keep doing. We have to keep telling people, not only is this virus very real, but we have to keep telling people to make sure that they are fully vaccinated right now. And also wear a mask. You have to do both. You have to do both. And for those of you who are able to, please make sure you make your appointment for your booster shot. Your booster shot is important, and you should make an appointment for one if you fit the relevant groups of persons, right? Have immunodisease, are in the risk group susceptible to this, that, and the other, are 65 years of age or above, have some kind of, you know, those are roughly the categories, right? So make sure you do that. But the idea that a doctor even has to make it very clear to people, this is a fact, this virus is real, and that it's nonsense to talk about this has been a 6-year thing. Hence the virus's name, COVID-19. What? COVID-19. And this fool that he had to respond to, oh, there's been data for 6 years. Oh, dear, oh, dear. You see, this is the kind of nonsense that, left unchecked, spreads amongst people and then beyond people into the whole bloodstream of the country. And sooner or later, it's not 10% of the people who believe this, but it's 35, 40, and 50. And then you got a problem. Because we can't have 50% of anything believing in garbage like, oh, COVID-19's been around for a long time. It's been around a long time. Yeah, okay then. Fact checking. Facts. This is the thrust of this episode, dear listener. And I guess my question is, facts. I mean, why are we even engaging, right, with nonsense like this? And that's the thing about C-SPAN I don't like, is that they will entertain this nonsense from these callers. On the one hand, it's great to have a call-in show. On the other hand, because C-SPAN tends to say it's neutral, and it is, but in some ways it's not. If you're allowing garbage, like someone going, oh, it's been around for 6 years, this virus, we're in 2021, right? It is October the 25th, 2021. And we've got someone going, oh, COVID-19's been around for 6 years. Ooh. 6 years. If you are in 2021 and COVID-19 happened in December of 2019, how many years has transpired? I mean, the fact that I even have to pose a question like that, come on now. Where was the idiot who called up and said, yeah, I'm going to call him an idiot, and say, where was that idiot back in 2000? Where was this idiot back in 2015 talking about COVID? Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, you can't make it up, but you can make it up. Because that's what these folks on the right wing are doing. Making up stuff, part of a political agenda, to spread lies and destroy a society so that they can control it. And they have all the tools in place to make this possible, you know. All this technology, all this automation, a system that basically makes it possible for them to do this. 50 states with laws all over the place. One says this, the other says that, the third says yet another thing. The fourth and 15th say different things. Then the 18th and 23rd say something else. And as you can see, that becomes a problem. Let's cause chaos. Let's get power by lying to you and telling you that the earth is flat. Because that's what these folks are doing. And it's all about gaining power and control. And creating a fascistic society. And also disorienting you, like the previous administration in the White House did, to the point in which you relent and capitulate. And once they keep throwing a million lies at you every 2 seconds, you're flummoxed. You're beaten down. You felt that way over those last 4 years, didn't you, dear listener? You felt beaten down, but you stood up and you stood tall and you went to the polls anyhow. Because they don't want you to vote. And they know if they keep lying to you like this and they keep hammering you, something in you says, oh, I'm fed up of this. But we can never go there because we will get Nazi Germany again. We will get that. Again, if we do not stand up and keep voting and keep fighting, that's what these people want. They want us to go back to enslavement days. They want us to go back to something like Nazi Germany. They want us to go back to the days where Native Americans were being slaughtered all over the place, genocided. They want us to go back to that. They want a return to white male only voting, straight white male, rich only voting. That's what they want. They're not paying any taxes. As far as I'm concerned, that's a pro-life thing, paying taxes. You are funding the general welfare of a country. If you're a rich person paying taxes, you are allowing society to operate, to run. You are allowing it. Right? You have excess wealth, you pay more. It's that simple. It's simple fuzzy math, as George W. Bush would say. I really shouldn't be quoting a war criminal, but I chose to do so. Fuzzy math, right? Isn't it simple? The rich should pay more, pay their fair share. And the poor and people who are not so rich should be paying less. Yeah. It makes sense. But this is the thing, dear listener. Facts. Facts. And Dr. Hildreth, who is a member of a committee in the FDA on vaccines, who's been studying this for so long, you know, studying viruses forever, as you heard him say, you know, come on now. Who are you going to believe, hubba hubba? Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the stinky C-SPAN caller? Or are you going to believe the guy that's been doing this for nearly 50 years, studying viruses, in virology forever? that's a problem, right? The fact that I've even posed that question is a problem. Because if I have to be posing a question like that, dear listener, to you, we are in trouble. The fact that we even get to a place in this society in the 21st century, where I, your humble narrator, is articulating to you, who are you going to believe between an ignorant ass caller and a doctor who studied virology for 40 some odd years? Wow, that's a rough place. That's a rough spot. That's a rough spot. That's trouble. I shouldn't have to be even paying attention to a caller. But that's the thing with C-SPAN. They let anybody come in and call. They let anybody in. But the thing is, that conversation should be over Once you hear someone say things like the earth is flat, once you hear someone say things like 2 + 2 = 5, you need to end that conversation. And this is the thing about fact checking. In some ways, I think we've got to have it, especially now in a society that has taken us from the Powell Memo in 1971. I've talked about the Powell Memo before, Louis B. Powell, who ended up sitting on Nixon's Supreme Court a year or two later. After he wrote the memo that said American business should be at the center of government, we must make that a center of American life once again. Because, of course, it was the era of the middle class in the 60s and 70s, and the tax rates for the rich were in the 90% zone. In LBJ's time and Eisenhower's time, Eisenhower ended his presidency in 61, when he talked about the military-industrial complex and all. But at that time, when you had Eisenhower, and then you had people like Kennedy, and had LBJ in there, the tax rate was at 90% for the rich. The rich were paying 90% in their taxes. No kidding. It was a tax bracket. And now, you don't have anything near that now. But that's what happened with the Powell Memo, and we should have returned this life these middle-class people are. I mean, he didn't say it, but you could hear it all over the memo. And we need to wrest control from them. And that's what it was. It was just a thinly veiled way. And you should read the Powell Memo. Very important. It is a thinly, because that basically was a pitch to Nixon. Put me on the Supreme Court and I'll start to turn the tide. And these corporations will start owning everything. And you won't have these people getting in our way. That's really what happened. I know it's the crude short version. It's not even, it's the Cliff Notes version that I'm giving you. And you read that memo, it was contemptuous to the everyday person, to the middle class even. And we need to put this back in perspective. Reagan was around. He was destroying this here state of California as governor. And destroying the education system in it, which is why the education system still sucks here in California, and especially here in San Francisco. Oh, San Francisco, you're so high-minded, are you? Some of us, we really do think we're better than a lot of people are. Better than we think we are. We think we're better than we are, is what I'm saying. We're so sophisticated. And our education system sucks. Happy days! Hello! We're so wine-sipping, cheese-loving, and yet the education system sucks. Carry on. I am not making that up. That's true. It's true. Come on now. San Franciscans, if there's any San Francisco persons listening, you know I'm not lying. But let me get back to this. I'm sorry. That's just so self-indulgent. Isn't everything self-indulgent? But I just want to get back to this because this is what's happened. You know, this whole thing, when you've got people going, you know, the Powell Memo, let me get back to that. The Powell Memo did this, and that was the pitch to Nixon, and that's all Nixon needed to hear. And boom, Nixon puts him on the Supreme Court the next year or two after that. I think it was a year. I think Nixon had 4 Supreme Court appointments. Jesus Lord. And he got, and this is the guy that had to leave office. Watergate break-in. Beep, beep. You know, I'm going to say some curse word. Oh gosh, I'm so tame now. Didn't you just like the days when I used to curse? No, some people didn't, I bet. I just decided that cursing is not a good thing. At least not here. At least not in this corner. At least this vehicle of communication is going to be relatively cursing free. Although, when I do have guests on, if they want to, they're more than welcome to, I guess. But this whole Powell Memo and Nixon, ooh, I like that. And Nixon puts him on the Supreme Court. And the rest is history. Then you had these Supreme Court decisions. First National Bank versus Bilotti. That was in the late 70s, long after Nixon's ass was running out of there. And you had Buckley versus Vallejo in 76. Free speech in politics is free speech. and then you had the money stuff, and then you jumped from First National Bank versus Bellotti and Buckley versus Vallejo to things like Citizens United in 2010. Which meant that now you could have anybody anywhere in the world throw money at a campaign. And that was the dark money. And that's where we are. Totally obliterate everything. So you had all these things. And all of these forces are behind people like these phone callers who get paid to call into a C-SPAN and talk this nonsense. Just like in 2016, they got paid to call Black Talk Radio. That's a fact. Congressional investigations about this. All kinds of investigations about this. So they called Black Talk Radio to spread lies. And they were paying Russians, this is, and people of that ilk, and Republicans, paying black folk to call Black Talk Radio and talk nonsense and lie and go, oh, you don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton. She doesn't care about black people. Right? Now, listen. Hillary Clinton has absolutely didn't help her cause when she talked about super predators. And everybody in the room back in 1994 knew what she and who she was referring to. What she meant and who she was referring to. Right? And so what's happened is on this one moment, which is really horrible from Hillary Clinton at that time. And that's something that is horrible. And I think she kind of mildly apologized. Kind of half apologized about it during the campaign. Maybe. I should have used a different choice of words. If you call that an apology, I don't call that an apology. But if you do, then you vaya con Dios. But here's the thing, dear listener, that we must understand here. You had callers calling into these shows constantly, daily in 2016. And Joe Madison, the Black Eagle, on Sirius XM channel 126. Please subscribe to Sirius XM, if only to listen to people like Joe Madison and Karen Hunter. These are gold people. They are gold. These folks are really good at what they do. Excellent critical thinkers both. And I'm a big, big time Joe Madison fan. Karen Hunter too is absolute gold. I listen to her as well. She's very, very good. She's really excellent. You got to subscribe to it because you get news you won't get anywhere else. You get analysis you won't get anywhere else. And that's why, you know, yeah, that's corporate media. Sirius is corporate. But I'm telling you, you hear a lot more and you learn a lot more than you do on watching these typical channels. I'll get to a certain one of those channels in a few minutes. But that's what happened. You had all this dark money and all this stuff fueling all this organized stuff on the right wing to call in talk shows and lie. And say, oh, the election, it's this and that and the other. And that's who you got. That's why you got who you got 5 years ago. Right? And the system, the Electoral College, is another reason you got what you got. Right? Because a system that says Electoral College, you can stay here, is a system that perpetuates the kind of results you get. Because we shouldn't be leaving it to a freaking Electoral College. We should be leaving it to us, the people, to vote and decide properly. So we don't have to have some freaking middleman come in the dark of the night and say, no, even though more of you voted for Hillary Clinton than the piece of garbage wins. Bye. Deal with it and get plenty of air freshener. For the next 4 years, make a 4-year stock supply of it. I mean, that we should not be having that again. The first mission should be to get rid of that blooming filibuster and the blooming Electoral College. Get rid of the lot of them. Both of them. The both of yous. Get rid of both of them things. Seriously. Get rid of both of those things. But this is what all of this comes to, right? The social media, the dark money, Citizens United, and all the rest of it from Buckley versus Vallejo on, right? All of this has led to where we are. And now to the point in which you've got a call in place like C-SPAN, Washington Journal, where that audio came from at the top of this particular episode, right? Where you've got to have a doctor, 40 plus years studying all this virus virology, right? Someone who's on the committee, the FDA committee for vaccines. He's at a point where he's got to to respond to this garbage. Fact-checking is important. When did we start fact-checking? Well, from day one, right? When we said to someone, no, that's a lie you're telling. You know, we started fact-checking from that moment in our civilization, right? When someone walked up to you, or when Lucy walked up to Charlie Brown, or when, you know, whatever, you know, whenever. When somebody walked up to Lucy, or when someone walked up to you and said to you that 2 + 2 = 5, you said, no, that's wrong. It equals 4. That's a fact check, right? When you're on the playground in 19 whatever, or 18 whatever, or 20 whatever, and someone walked up to you and said that 2 + 2 = 5, you said, no, it doesn't. 2 + 2 = 4. That's fact checking, right? That is actually not only fact check, it's not even, there's nothing to check. It's a refutation, right? And not only, it's not even a refutation, it's, this is the fact. 2 + 2 = 4. And you are lying. 2 + 2 does not equal 5. That's what that is, right? But now it's become this cottage industry. Ooh, PolitiFact says this, and this one says the other. And then you got to look at them and go, who are they funded by? Who's PolitiCat? This PolitiCrap. It's funded by PolitiFact. Not PolitiCrap, PolitiFact. Who's that? And who's this one by? And who's that one? And when you've got groups like Project Veritas, it's a right-wing thing. Judicial Watch, ooh. It's a right-wing, you know, bunch of wankers. Seriously, true the vote. That's what these Republicans do, right? These right wingers, they spend all this time talking, oh, we give these nice sounding, righteous sounding titles to our organizations. Meanwhile, we're doing the opposite. We are freaking vultures, man. We want to destroy True the Vote. It's destroy the vote. That's what their organization is. And they've been investigated a billion times. Go look them up. Catherine Engelbrecht and all the rest of them. All the rest of these folks, they're about destroying votes, mate. They're about destroying black folks' right to vote. They're about stealing our vote, taking it, and throwing it in the garbage. They're about challenging every freaking breath we take, every move we make. No, I'm not trying to be Sting at this moment. And the police. The police, oh boy, that's an unfortunate reference there. Breath. Every breath you take, the police, oh dear. Then I think of you-know-who, my man George Floyd. You know, sorry, that's just really bad. But these things, because this is what happens when you have an unscripted podcast like the one you're listening to. You never know where your words will take you. But here's the thing that I do really want to emphasize, dear listener. Fact-checking is important. We've got to have it. We have to, because you've got this Facebook, which is the most poisonous social media you can ever have. Facebook is disgusting. We've had Frances Haugen today in England testifying before the joint House of Lords, House of Commons investigation into Facebook and all the garbage it does against young people and what it does. It's how corrosive it is. And Frances Haugen is a fact checker. She's a whistleblower. I call her a fact checker too. I mean, that's kind of maybe belittling her position. But she's a whistleblower in the tradition of whistleblowers we've had in this country. Or, you know, whistleblowers. Far as I'm concerned, Rosa Parks was a whistleblower. Right? She said, damn it, I'm sitting here. And I can sit any freaking where I want. Rosa Parks was a whistleblower. Quite frankly, a fact checker too, but a whistleblower. I'm a human being, man. I'm going to sit where the hell I want. Damn it. Seriously. Right? Frances Haugen comes from the tradition of Rosa Parks. Someone is putting her body and life on the line. Now, I say putting her body on the line because this is what Rosa Parks did. Frances Haugen, I say that in that context because I'm sure she gets death threats. I know she gets death threats. Come on now. Facebook? Oh, we're going to leave her well alone and we're going to be nice. We're an upstanding company. And we're going to even change our name. Who gives a you-know-what if they change their name or not? It should be extinct book. But we're going to treat Frances Haugen with respect. We're not going to give any death threats to her. We're not going to sick our trolls and bots and our peoples on her. Of course not. We wouldn't do such a thing. Just like we wouldn't poison the hearts of young girls everywhere. We wouldn't do that. We're Facebook.
We're Instagram. We don't believe in that because we want Instagram for kids.
Oh, dearie me. Facebook is extremely dangerous. Facebook is a public health concern. I'm not kidding. And that's how it should be when you have these whistleblowers, brave folk like Frances Haugen and others. You should be framing Facebook as a public health danger, a public health emergency. That's what we should be looking at it as. Facebook is a threat. They're a threat, man. They're a threat to democracy. All right, laugh. Think about Cambridge Analytica. Go and laugh. Laugh it off. You think I'm joking. You think about 2016, the Brexit referendum, with Cambridge Analytica and Facebook. And again, in 2016, same year, the US presidential election. All right, you keep laughing.
I am dead serious.
Facebook is a threat to democracy, in quotes, democracy, right? To the extent that that exists, Facebook is an endangerment to it. Right? And you leave up all this lies and this garbage on your platform. And no wonder we have to keep fact-checking. We have to push back against it. And I wouldn't even call it fact-checking really so much as we have to just spread truth. We have to spread the facts. The earth is bloody well round, mate. It is not flat. The earth is round. Good night and good luck, okay? It's really as simple as that. I'm going to come back, however, after this break, and tell you why it is not as simple as that. I'm going to do a lawyerly thing here, and I'm going to argue against myself to a degree right after this. Welcome back. And I do want to clarify a couple of things really quickly. First of all, no, I am not comparing Frances Haugen to Rosa Parks. Let me actually clean that up because I don't think I did a good job. It certainly sounded like I was. And in some ways I was because I said that both of them put their bodies on the line. Look, I really have to apologize to you. Because Rosa Parks sacrificed so damn much, right? So much. And let me really have this absolutely correct. Shame on me for leaving that blatant comparison out there. I mean, I God, jeez. No way. I mean, Rosa Parks is freaking iconic, man. And that's putting it mildly. She toiled and sacrificed so much and, look, was very instrumental in a movement in the mid-1950s, right? 1955 and above, December 1st, 1955. So, look, no, that is not true, all right? Anything I said about them, because there's no way, right? I mean, I want to make that very, very clear. Very, very clear, okay? Who the hell do I think I am talking about? Oh, dear, oh, dear. I will say that Frances Haugen has done a good public service, and that's all I'm going to say, right? She didn't put her body on the line, right? Now, she is certainly at risk because there are going to be people who do mount death threats at her. But she is not, in terms of, you know, come on, in the grand scheme of things, she's not put her body on the line. Rosa Parks was subject to being beaten up, spat upon. Come on now. Come on now. So, listen, I want to make that clear off the top here. That is absolutely... Yeah, no. No way. Frances Haugen is not in the same universe as Rosa Parks, right? See, now I'm doing it, right? Even now, I'm having a conversation with you, dear listener, about fact-checking. And here I am having to actually correct the record of my own comments. This is where we are, you see. But no, it doesn't absolve me. I'm not sitting here, dear listener, trying to absolve myself. I take full responsibility for the comments I made. And I apologize 1,000,000%. I really do, because what the heck was I thinking? What the heck was I even thinking? See, that's what happens when you try to do things that unscripted podcasts. Listen, no excuses, no excuses, no excuses. I'm going to dig myself a digger. No, that doesn't sound good either. I'm going to dig myself a deeper, bigger ditch before this episode is over. I promise. I promise you. The other thing I want to correct is the name of the case. And I realized this by memory, not by checking it, but by memory, that I got the case name wrong. It is not First National Bank versus Bellotti. It is First National Bank of Boston. It's actually called First Boston National Bank, I believe. Or First National Bank of Boston versus Bellotti. That is the name of the case that dealt with. This is, I think, in the late 1970s. I'll get the exact information. But I said First National Bank versus Bellotti. It was First National Bank of Boston, or First Boston National Bank against Bellotti. I'll get the exact name, but I promise you what I had said in the previous block was not accurate in terms of the case name, because you might want to look this up. You might want to look this up. So here I are. Look, when I say I want to argue against myself here, I want to put this on the table so much, and in this instance, which is to say to you, dear listener, fact-checking, aren't we playing into the belly of the beast when we have to keep chasing down and obliterating the ridiculous? Is there not some point, dear listener, where we have to say, why the heck are we giving these fools any airtime to begin with? And by fools, I mean these right-wingers and these trolls and bots and these right-wingers who call up and lie their asses off on radio, on television, who go on the internets and spread filth and poison. Why are we even responding to these folks? Well, we have to, first of all. That's my response back to myself. First of all, we have to respond. First of all, second of all, we've got to, as I said at the beginning of this very episode, we have to spread facts, right? And we need to be proactive about it. And that's why these folks, these right-wingers, want to destroy education. And they lie and they say, oh, it's critical race theory. Critical race theory is a smokescreen for them. It is a cure-all or a one-size-fits-all for them wanting to destroy education. By using something that's going to get some people all upset, right? And hammer home at it. This is what the Republicans do. The right wing does all the time. They use these things that are going to create a lot of division amongst some people who are either racist or just, oh my gosh, I don't know the difference between 2 plus 2 equals 4 and 3 plus 2 equals 5. And are going to create consternation amongst persons like that in the world. Right? And so that is going to be the thing. And then they're going to organize a political freaking movement out of it. And that's what they do so damn well. Right? They scream and shout at hearings. They scream and wave their hands, create all this theater and drama. And they fundraise out of it. As I said this before, they fundraise out of this. They actually hold fundraise. Oh, Joe Wilson of South Carolina called President Obama a liar. You lie. And he fundraised off of that, made millions of dollars off of that for his re-election campaign. And he's still in office. Shame on him. He's still in office in the House of Representatives. Joe Wilson of South Carolina, Republican. See, that's what they do. They fundraise off all kinds of garbage, right? But they make millions of dollars out of it. And I'd only wish the Democrats could find a way to make millions of dollars out of the truth, out of the facts, and stop being so darn, oh, We're taking the moral high ground. You need to fight these folks. You really do. With the truth and with facts. That's how you fight with them and against them. You shame them out the building, right? But that's the thing I'm saying is, why are we giving energy to these people? As the saying goes, dear listener, when you start to argue with a fool, pretty soon, people will be wondering just exactly who the fool is. So in that vein, could we not argue that fact-checking becomes an issue? Because the fact that we even have to, as I think I said earlier, that we even have to be choosing between some foolish, not even foolish, some malevolent, lying-ass phone caller on C-SPAN and the freaking doctor who spent 40 years studying virology, studying viruses, is a doctor, has done this forever. The fact that we even are even articulating that there's somehow a choice to be made in who to rely on, that's a problem, right? So that's what I mean. Why are we even giving these liars any airtime? And that's my problem with the corporate news media. Why are we even giving these people a platform? Why is social media even doing that? Well, I know why. Money. Monet. Green. Moolah. Dosh. Shillings. Dough. Right? It's money. That's the reason. But the larger question is, why are we giving these folks a platform? It's this whole same thing with this both sides and this false equivalency garbage. Right? I can't stand that both sides-ism stuff. And that's what the corporate news media in the United States and elsewhere does. They do that. Like there's some freaking choice to be made. And there ain't a choice to be made between what's right and what's friggin' wrong. Now, in your own life, maybe you have these complex choices to make. But what I'm talking about is when you're talking about facts and the earth being freaking round and you got some fool somewhere else, a fool on the hill, not Capitol Hill, the Beatles fool on the hill, right? Telling you, oh, no, the world isn't round. The earth is flat. Ooh, stink. Right? And you actually have to entertain that. You need to ignore that person. Right? But there's the problem. You ignore that person, and then sooner or later, you got four other people shouting the earth is flat. Then you got 10. Then you got 20. Then you got 20,000. Left unchecked, this stuff does germinate. And the problem is that the corporate news media, for its profit motive, loves to give attention to the small group of people, the 2% of the world, the 1% of the world, who shouts the loudest for their advertising dollar. And that's the problem, right? So because we've got the corporate news media, and look, I've told you about the Fairness Doctrine being destroyed. I've told you about the 1996 Telecommunications Act under Clinton, the 1987 destruction of the Fairness Doctrine by the FCC under Ronald Reagan. I've told you about those things, dear listener, many a time here. But the fact that we've even got to get to a place where we are even doing this, that is the problem, right? And I wish these corporate news media folk would stop doing this, giving platforms to people. I mean, they've been doing this forever. People who lie, I'm saying. Giving platforms to people who lie. So they did this with this didn't just start with 2021. They did this with climate change, remember? When you had people going, oh no, climate change is not real. And then they stopped that. Right? When there were enough scientists out there and enough climate activists out here who were like, you know, you all are just trash. Except they probably weren't just saying trash. They were using words preceding it with the letter F. And then the corporate news media pretty much stopped saying that. And they probably started a bit to include the word climate and change in their broadcasts. Although still, if you watch local news even, you won't see that even in the local level. even when they're doing weather forecasts. Like, we just had a storm here in San Francisco. I mean, just literally yesterday. And on Saturday, bloody hell, this place was storming. Storming. Trees all over the place. I mean, blown down. Windows rattling and shaking and breaking and achy breaky hearting and everything else. Billy Ray Cyrus. They weren't blowing down because of him, but the wind, right? So this is serious stuff. And even the local news here in San Francisco wasn't even, for the most part that I was listening to and watching, was not going on about climate. Of course this is climate. You have ferocious winds like this dropping 4+ inches of rainwater on San Francisco in less than a freaking day. In one freaking day, less than a day. And he ain't had rain here in years in San Francisco. We need the rain. I was glad for it because we have a big ass drought here in California. Had a drought here for 5 or 6 years or so. So we needed the rain, but that wind, no thank you. No thank you. We can deal without that. And thankfully no one was hurt out here. At least not that I am aware of. These trees are lying around out here. I'm not kidding. But you see, the media used to present people to oppose the notion that there was climate change. Until all these studies had come out forever and said, the Earth is warming every year by about 1 or 2 degrees, a degree or two every year. Oh, okay, now we won't put them on anymore. And then before that, it was tobacco. Don't you remember the tobacco days? Now, I don't know if you are a tobacco person. I am not a tobacco person. I'm not a smoker. But you remember those days. I think it was back in the 1980s and 90s it was. And you had all those CEOs get up there in the tobacco industry. Before the Senate and the House going, oh, nicotine is not addictive. Nicotine is not addictive. They actually did that. You can go look it up. And by the way, you can also watch The Insider, the movie The Insider, which stars Russell Crowe and Al Pacino. They actually play the clip from that moment. From C-SPAN, by the way, where they all got up there and stood up and said, nicotine is not addictive. They all got up there, raised their hands, and then said they lied, of course. It's a political proceeding, not a legal one, right? So they all sat there and lied. Oh, it's nicotine is not addictive. Like, okay. And all the studies, we all knew nicotine is addictive as you know what. Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. And then, until then, all the ads came out. Oh, we're not going to put the people who say nicotine isn't an issue anymore. We're not going to put them on the ads. What the corporate news media. Oh, okay. We'll sit back here now. We'll retreat. And they've been doing this forever. They've been doing this forever. And now it's both sidesism, right? Now it's the Republicans doing this. Oh, and the Democrats, well, they do the same thing. So, and I've argued very clearly, there's a big ass difference between a party that wants to get rid of you and a party that advocates for some of your issues, but doesn't do it forcefully enough and doesn't go the whole way. It's a big freaking difference. Now, they're part of the same system, and there's no difference between them when it comes to voting for wars and voting for weapons and voting for defense contractors and voting for military budgets, where they did that lickety-split. But, oh boy, infrastructure bills and For the People Acts and John Lewis, oh, that takes an age. See, now in that respect, okay, we can see the difference. We can see the similarities there. But there's no way you're going to tell me that the Democratic Party is doing the kinds of things to people that the Republicans are. The Republicans are stealing. The Republicans are taking your vote. They're denying women the right to have autonomy. When do the Democrats ever do that? I'll wait. When do the Democrats pass a bill saying that women can't choose for themselves? I'll wait. When did the Democratic Supreme Court say that? I'll wait. When did that happen? Come on now. There are clear differences. Let's not get it twisted. I have criticisms of the Democratic Party, but let's have it absolute right. The Democratic Party, with its flaws and its warts and all, is definitely, by far, the party to be voting for in the United States. It isn't even close. And anyone that goes, oh, well, I'm going to suit this one out, you are aiding and abetting the treason and treachery of the Republican Party. That's what you're doing. 147 of them, I want to remind you, dear listener, 147 of them voted to overturn our election results. You want to talk about fact-checking. It's all certified results. Even the freaking Republicans who ran those elections said, these are elections that were perfectly done. No issues. Certified. Boom. I don't like that my guy lost, but damn it, these elections were clean. And I'm a Republican who supports the piece of garbage who said that. Who's saying it? Gabriel Sterling, right down there in Georgia, said it. Guy voted for the piece of garbage, right? But he was trotted out there day after day saying, no, these elections are legitimate. These elections are fine. They're certified through our processes. We're rigorous. We do all this stuff carefully. We went over and over and over it. And the results are the freaking results. Joe Biden won. They didn't overturn any, but you know, these people, and they're only overturning them in black neighborhoods and black cities. Oh, Philadelphia. Oh, Detroit. Oh, Milwaukee. Oh, Atlanta. Oh, I wonder what's, what do you think? Atlanta, Detroit, Milwaukee, Philadelphia. Atlanta, Detroit, Milwaukee, Philadelphia. I wonder, what do those particular cities have in common? I don't know. I don't know. What do they have in common? It's like, God. Oh, but you see, that's how they do us. That's how they do us, dear listener. That's how they do us. Well, listen, let's get real here. They do not want us to vote. They do not want you to vote. That's how they do us. See how they do us? And you have Rudy Giuliani out there lying. All these people, you want to talk about fact-checking? All these folks knew that they were lying to you. Because that's what a lie is. When you know what you're saying ain't true. When you know what you're saying is not true. And you do it to mislead or deceive. That is a lie. And Giuliani and all these garbage meisters, you know, all these other garbage meisters, like the piece of garbage himself and people like Sidney Powell and all these people, all knew they were lying. And then it led to what happened on January 6th. And that's what happens when things are left unchecked. In this country, you get people like that killing people, terrorists. You have terrorists running into a building and fighting against people who represent us in government. You have full-blown coup attempts and tyranny. Not just insurrection. This is a terrorist attack on the whole country. The only person I've heard saying that is Senator Amy Klobuchar, Democrat. Right? When I played that speech to you last week on this podcast, I said to you, she is the only one that I've heard say that. She made the speech. It's not just an attack on a building. It's an attack on our republic. She's absolutely right. I've been saying that for months. Stop framing it as an... Didn't I say that to you? If you listen to this podcast forever, you will know that I said that. I've said this in between the times, between the 6th of January and now. But I said, stop framing this as, oh, it's an attack on a building. It's an attack on all of us. It's an attack on the entire country. When September 11th, 2001 happened, it wasn't framed as just an attack on the World Trade Center. It was framed, quite correctly, as an attack on the entire country, which it was. Same thing with this terrorist attack on January 6th. Oh, but they're white. So, you know, it's just it's a tea party thing. It's some tourists, you know. Just a little bit upset at what they saw when they were taking the tour. And that's the way we look at it. Again, I said this before. This is how we soft pedal white violence, white male violence in this case. We soft pedal it. Oh, it's just a few unruly boys, you know? Some unruly boys. They ain't good old boys. Just making a fuss. They ain't harming nobody. Well, that's the way we look at it. Soft peddling white male violence. And it happens all over this place. Whether it's these mass shootings, these school shootings, oh. Whether it's the attack on black folk, Dylan Roof, Burger King, oh. Oh, he's just a poor lad. Give him some Burger King. The cops give him Burger King. What do they give George Floyd? You know, another thing we need, dear listener, is responsible journalists. We need journalists who are going to be responsible, who are not going to be stenographers, who are going to raise critical questions, who are going to probe, who are going to be relentless in their reporting, and who are going to be fearless in it. There are journalists who are fearless in their reporting, who do raise the right questions, who ask critical questions. There are the April Ryans of the world. There are numerous others in the world who raise critical questions as journalists, as April Ryan does. I want to single her out because she does. And there are others, but I want to single her out because she does an excellent job at it. She works, I believe, still for American Urban Radio Networks. I will be corrected on that if I am wrong, but you can go and follow April Ryan on Twitter at April D, as in Delta, Ryan. R-Y-A-N. Let me do that again. April as in the month, D as in the fourth letter of the alphabet, and Ryan as in the last name of Paul Ryan. That was not really a good description. Paul Ryan. Oh, dear. And you know who Paul Ryan is, don't you? I know, dear listener, you know. But some people may not be aware of who Paul Ryan is. But anyway, she's really great. And there are others, but I want to single her out because I don't think she gets the credit that she should. And I want to add one other thing. Indeed, as I think I said just a few minutes ago after the previous break, it was First National Bank of Boston versus Bellotti. I think I said First National Bank of Boston. I said First Boston. I did say that as well. But I'm confirming something I did say earlier. I'm almost certain I did. First National Bank of Boston versus Bellotti is the United States Supreme Court case. I did decide to go back and check it this time around. And as I said, the case was in the late 70s, 1977. Corporations have a First Amendment right to make contributions to ballot initiative campaigns. I'm telling you, this is where it all started. It started with the Powell Memo in 71. Lewis B. Powell. Powell Memo. Corporations must restore themselves to the rightful center of American life and society and government. They must be at the heart of it. As I said, just to recap this episode, Nixon looked at that and said, I'll have some of that. Ooh. And put him on the Supreme Court the next year. I kid you not. Put him on the United States Supreme Court. He became a Supreme Court justice, did Lewis B. Powell. And lo and behold, surprise, surprise, within four years, decisions like Buckley versus Vallejo, 1976.
Oh, money is free speech, politicians, political speech, money, speech,
money. Ooh, oh, now this free speech, politics, money thing. Uh-huh. Corporations must be the center. Ooh, oh, okay then. Oh, Buckley v. Vallejo. Thank you very much. That's notch one on the belt of Mr. Lewis B. Powell and his Powell memo. And he now on the Supreme Court. Back then in the 70s. Oh, and Oh, less than 2 years later, indeed, do we have here? What do we have here? Actually, 1978 was the case, not 77. 78 was First National Bank versus Bellotti. So 2 years later, oh, another one for Mr. Louis B. Powell on the Supreme Court. Oh, corporations have a First Amendment right to make the contributions to campaign ballot initiatives. So what we had here in 2008 here in California, with that Prop Hate, as I call it, as many here call it, saying that people who are of the same gender cannot marry each other, like, screw that, man. People of the same gender, I felt this forever, should always be able to marry each other. Always. I voted against Proposition 8 out here in California in 2008. And on that same night, when President Obama was put into office, well, Barack Obama became president, you had a load of people here in California going, no, we don't want people of the same gender to marry. We don't want that. So it's not, because I don't call it same-sex marriage. That's bullcrap. No one walks around here going, hey, we're same-sex married. Here's my same-sex wife. Here's my same-sex husband. We don't talk like that. We don't talk like that when we talk about straight people, right? Here's my straight husband. Here's my straight wife. We don't talk that way. So why are we talking that way about people of the same gender who decide to marry? Ooh, same-sex marriage. Garbage. It's marriage. And I know why we're talking that way, among other reasons. It's a heteropatriarchy. So everything is normative from the point of view of that, and in that space of the heteropatriarchy. So anything that looks different from that, we demonize it in this country, on this planet. Not you and I, but the heteropatriarchy does. Ooh, Omar, you laid such a big word on me, man. Hey, heteropatriarchy, man. That's trippy. I'm talking, I don't know what kind of language. There is a certain language here in California that goes that way, or did go that way back in the 70s. Or be before, actually, in the 60s. That's heavy, man. That's really... listen, I love that era, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to make... Heteropatriarchy, man. That, but that's real. I'm not joking, dear listener. I know I've been at screech mode all episode. I'm sorry. I get exercised about certain things. It's not an excuse. It's a fact. But like I say, those two decisions, and it's no accident that once Louis B. Powell was put on that court, and that United States Supreme Court in 71 or 72, right after the Powell memo was 71, I believe. Best of my memory. And in 72, Nixon puts Powell on the Supreme Court. Louis B. Powell, not Colin Powell, Louis B. Powell, right? And he's a Supreme Court justice. And lo and behold, all these decisions start coming. I wonder how that happened. And now, you know, like I say, First National Bank of Boston versus Bellotti is brought to you Proposition 8 here in California, Prop Hate. In 2008. That's what it brought you. That's what first the Supreme Court case, First National Bank of Boston v. Bellotti, brought you. Proposition Hate here in California in 2008. I'm telling you, these corporations backed that Prop 8 initiative. Certain corporations, right-wing corporations, they funded that to the T out here. You saw more Proposition vote yes on Prop 8 signs out here than you did vote no. Seriously, I remember it all over the place. You can see Prop 8, yes, woohoo, Prop 8 signs. It's disgusting, but they were all over the place. And that gets funded by people. It's like what Jane Mayer says in Dark Money. You got to read that book. I keep talking about Jane Mayer's book, Dark Money. Now, she's written several books. It's not the most recent book she's written. I think she's written a book since then. But Dark Money is a very important book. Jane Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, is her last name. She's a New Yorker columnist and investigative reporter. One of the very best investigative journalists we have in this country is Jane Mayer. And she's on Twitter as well. Just type in her name. I forget the exact Twitter handle, Jane Mayer. Jane spelt the common way in four letters. Not with a Y, just Jane, the common spelling that we know of Jane. And Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, as in John Mayer, last name, as in Louis B. Mayer, as in Milton Mayer, the author of a book I'm going to be reading passages from soon. Again, I'm going to start doing that again soon. They thought they were free, F-R-E-E. The Germans, 1933 to 45. I'm going to start reading because people need to be reminded of this, because there are people around here still saying bullcrap like, oh, the Holocaust didn't happen. Ugh. You know, you got some people. This is very dangerous. Speaking of fact checking, we have to really be proactive. I think that's the bottom line here. Now, I've talked about First National Bank versus Boston versus Bilotti, and I've talked about prop hate. I've talked about all these things today. You know, the corporate news media and this both sidesism nonsense and, you know, and Fox News, which is a lying broadcasting organization. They lie. They're not news. They're lies. Nobody can tell me that they want to see what the other side is saying, because what they really mean is they want to see the entertainment value of lies. They know what the other side is saying. The other side is all over the place. The other side makes its way into Sunday morning news shows. How many of these media organizations do you see not book a Republican every Sunday on their Sunday morning shows? There's a Republican every freaking morning. And if you start questioning these Republicans, they won't come on your show. Everybody wants the drama and the advertising dollars. Everybody wants to see it. Why do you think they're on there all the time? Why do you think these corporate networks throw lying-ass Republicans on every week? And you watch it. Not you personally, but you watch. People watch. Not me personally, but people watch. I know people that go, oh, I want to see what the other side... What do you want to see? Lies and entertainment. And how out of control it gets. Because there's a part of us that likes the train wreck. That likes to stop as we drive and see that massive-ass accident. Glass and car parts all over the place. And we wonder if a body will be there too. There is something about us, isn't it? Kind of uncomfortable. Kind of deep-seated. That we do want to see that, right? Deep down. That's that awful part of us, isn't it? At least some of us as human beings, where we want to see that. Ugh. I wonder if that's the same reason why we go to see horror movies. We want to see how bad someone gets killed. And then they play a George Floyd's murder over and over again. It's that same horrible thing, isn't it? These corporate companies making money off of our black backs. So they recycle that video of George Floyd over and over again like a loop on a freaking loop on TV. That must have been shown at least a million times. I mean, hey, it's horrible. I mean, once, maybe twice, I'm done. But are you kidding me? Millions of times that was shown all over the planet. And on the one hand, it's like Mamie Till says, I want the world to see what they did to my son, Emmett Till. On the one hand, yeah, I'm with that. On the other hand, I think the more that you keep replaying this stuff, the more it desensitizes people, the more it is acting as some kind of encouragement to others. It's the whole copycat theory. You show that marauding idiot running onto a sports field of play, and then more people want to get famous. They want to copy. And now you have a lot of sports broadcasts, they refuse to show it anymore because they know damn well the power of what they do to give a platform to people who would run onto a field and be assholes. So why are the corporate media giving time and platforms to lying Republicans? That's kind of an oxymoron. Lying. Why are we giving time? Why are they doing that? I know the advertising dollar. I know. The discourse has to be better, is my point. The challenge is better discourse, and more proactivity. We need to get the facts out there, aggressively so. And we need to hammer them into the ground. That's the solution here, among others. We need to get money out of politics. We need to get these social media companies kicked to the curb. They need to be regulated because they're a factory of all these lies. We need to stop this stuff. And that's the way we protect a society and then try to better it so that we don't have a percentage of people in this country believing that Joe Biden is not the president. Just ridiculous. I guess you're never going to entirely stop that. But the fact is, we need to stop the culture of that. That's what we need to do. And we must vote. Locally, state, and general. Vote in every election. Dog catcher, mayor, you name it. School, board, city council, vote every election. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.
And I've been studying viruses since 1978, 40 years now, more. And I can tell you, this is a pandemic virus. We were naive to it prior to December of 2019. Vaccines were the best hope to put this behind us. The vaccines are safe and they do work. So, sir, all of those things that you've said are false, and I will leave it at that.